All of the dollars came, you know, from the community, from private citizens themselves, from foundations, corporations, and the community that were willing to sponsor and support it. But we're very proud that we were not government funded. It is a privately funded museum. It's something that Houston had in its heart and thought it needed.
And the building itself is very unique because it looks like no other museum out there. Can you talk about why it was designed this way?
Well, the original building, the part that we're in now, was a doctor's office originally. And so when we bought the property, they had to figure out how to turn a fairly bland box office into a museum that would attract attention. And what the survivors wanted was a building that people couldn't ignore. They wanted a building that told a story even if you never went inside. And so they hired an architect named Ralph Applebaum out of New York City to come up with the concept. And so as you see, as you're walking up the sidewalk, you see the cylinder, which is not a crematory, but it's intended to remind you of what went on in the crematoriums. You see the fencing around the destroyed slope, and it's not really a barbed wire fence, you know, but it gives you that impression. You feel, like you, before you ever get here, that this is an experience, that you're going to encounter an experience here. You're not just going to come in and see a few things and leave. The building is intended to say, we're going to change you, we have a story to tell, and you need to hear. And so that's kind of the purpose of the architecture on the outside. And then as you get in the door, if you noticed when you went in, and I can show you some of this later, as you get in the door, it's wide, it's airy, it's lit, it's open, it's inviting. But the farther you get into the Holocaust and get into the story, it starts getting tighter, it gets narrower, and the walls get lower and start coming down, and it gets darker and more gloomy and depressing. And as you see what's actually happening, and the building is built to let you see what happens from going from freedom into captivity and eventually what happened. The whole building is built that way. You know, as you walk down the halls, you see, and I can show you some of this, you'll see what appear to be railroad tracks coming down the hall. And again, they start off very wide and very open and it's daylight, and they get narrower and narrower and narrower as they take you down toward the rail car. And 3 million people died by rail.
Is that the whole concept of the steel beams? And like what appears to be vents?
The vents are reminiscent of the vents that were in Auschwitz, that and the gas chambers, as to how the gas actually was put into the building. And the steel is intended to remind you of the railway stations, because trains were a very big part of the Holocaust. You know, 6 million Jews died, millions of other innocent people also died, but of the 6 million Jews, 3 million of them were moved by rail car to the concentration camps. So railroads were a very big part of the Holocaust. And you get that feeling outside with the concrete floors, the steel beams of train station. So the building itself is intended to be as much of an exhibit as the exhibit itself.